Well, we'd like to welcome each and every individual to the Life Masteries Virtual Assistant certification program mentoring training. This session is designed to help you succeed as a VA. And so in the certification world, in the Life Masteries world, with the types of clients that they have, the system is built, the certification system is built to weed out the weak that aren't willing to become strong. And hi, my name is Mark Borisma, president of Synergy Solutions. I'll be your executive coach for today's group coaching session. If you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free, 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. I'm pretty sure that you're not going to listen to me. I'm pretty sure that you're going to miss what I'm going to have to say. It's like my seven kids, my adult children and my teenage children, like Snoopy, like, you know, and Peanuts and stuff in the movies where they have the adults going and. It's almost like that's what's going to happen to you. Until you hit the buzzsaw of the VA clients, and then you're not going to have paid attention to this, and probably 50 to 75% of you that don't pay attention to it, you will be eliminated. You will not be have your own company as a VA. You will not succeed, at least not within the network that is in and around Life Masteries and Synergy and all that kind of stuff, because they're a higher-end network. Better clients, you can make more money. But they have much higher expectations because they know what to do. Many companies that hire VAs don't have a clue of what to do. So you can buffalo yourself for some period of time, but eventually it's going to come out that you're not producing results. So in this whole training, what we're trying to do is we're trying to capture everything that's done in the process, and we missed it yesterday or 2 days ago. So Bobby had the wonderful privilege, that's what I would call it, he might call it something else, somebody else might call it something else, but I call it a privilege to actually being connecting with me in person. So he's kind of mirroring, shadowing, I'm not sure what your thought or impression of me in going through this training is. You probably think I'm a pretty intense type of guy. That's not true. I am a soft marshmallow. I'm just a humorous, funny type of guy. So Bobby's going to help you all learn today some very valuable lessons. So, Bobby, when you were here on Tuesday, do you think you listened to me?
Yes.
Okay. So Bobby thinks he listened to me. Like 1 to 10, how strong of a listener do you think you were?
7.
7, okay. Now, in Bobby's world, in Bobby's dimension, he is a 7. In my world, in my dimension, it's not even rating on the Richter scale. I mean, and since this is audio, you can't see it, but hopefully you're visualizing the next dimension principle. What's going on is Bobby's in one dimension. I'm a few dimensions above Bobby. And so Bobby's 7 to him is a legitimate 7, Bobby 7 to me doesn't even register. I mean, it's not even there. Bobby is not training or being certified to be an executive coach. Bobby does not have to be at my dimension. And so I have to, in my world, I have to hear things that are not said. I have to understand things that are never communicated. That's in my world. In Bobby's world, he doesn't have to be there, but he does have to be a couple dimensions above what he is. And so right now, what Bobby is in is Bobby is in a state of unconscious incompetence. The teenage principle. Teenagers are overconfident in things they should be underconfident, and underconfident in things they should be overconfident. Bobby's got blind spots, okay? Bobby's not the only one who has blind spots. I have blind spots. Every human being, all 7 billion people, have blind spots. So it's not just Bobby. It's me, too. We don't know what we don't know. And so what I need to do is I need to take Bobby. Ideally, Bobby would take himself. Ideally, Bobby would see the truth, but you don't know what you don't know. And so Bobby thinks he's at a 7, so that's what he's really at. And so I get the wonderful privilege of helping Bobby recognize that he is consciously incompetent. Okay? And so there's 4 levels of learning. And Bobby, can you see my screen?
Oh, no.
Okay, so if you go to ravingfan.net, and so you that are listening, you guys don't have the privilege of seeing the screen, but you can visualize this. This will be a good exercise in visualization. And so the next dimension principle, but now there's 4 levels of learning. So when we give you in the certification stuff, anything you're learning, it's not like school. It is not like school. There is nothing in this training that you will not use. Everything, 100% of what you... And so in school, you've been conditioned to where you can probably graduate only paying attention 10% of the time. And if you're smart, maybe it's even less than that. In this world, it's not that. It's a totally different world. So when I was in high school, I was my goal was to own my own company, so I was going to become a CPA and have a CPA practice. And so I was going to have a CPA practice, so I was going to become a CPA. Did really well in accounting in high school. Took 2 semesters of accounting. Went into college, went into a community college, a 2-year college, and took a semester. Took my first semester of accounting, and the first 2 weeks, I'm like, this is a breeze. This is easy. I mean, this is not hard. Didn't have to study. I'm like, oh, this is nothing. I'm an ace. I'm going to be the best CPA on the planet. And then 2 weeks, I fell off the end of the cliff. After 2 weeks, I knew everything up to 2 weeks. It was easy. Didn't have to study. And then week 3, I come in. I have no idea what they're talking about. We covered in 2 weeks what I had covered in a year of accounting in high school. Never did end up becoming a CPA. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that most of you probably have had jobs. So you think, well, being a VA is just like, you know, having a job. It's not. It's a different mindset, different approach. Everything's different about it because you can make a lot more money, but you can also make a lot less. They're not committing to you to where you work. You show up to work and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you don't produce, but you're up there at work and you're doing whatever. And so this is very different. You have to produce and you have to produce fast. And so, Bobby, what I am endeavoring to do is I'm endeavoring to take you from an unconscious incompetence, okay, and move you to a conscious incompetence because consciously incompetent, so unconscious incompetence is we're stupid and we don't know it, okay? Conscious incompetence is we're stupid and we know it. That's where learning can occur. And so I need to take you to that point. Do you have any suggestions, Bobby, on how I can do that in the fastest, least painful way?
For example.
Okay. So I'm going to try to give Bobby an example of this, okay? And so, how do I do it? So yesterday you thought you listened to the 7. How long, or Tuesday, how long did we talk?
About 2 hours.
Okay. Have you ever seen, like, police officers, have you ever been through any of that where, like, for police officer training, they have you, they flash something up on the screen, and then you have to go ahead and remember what everything is there? Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Well, some stuff like that in college, yeah.
Okay. So you have a scene, and then they show it to you for 10 seconds or whatever, and then they blank it out, and then you write it all down. And then you look at your list versus the list of what somebody's trained to see, and you're like, oh, I didn't see that, didn't see that, didn't see that, and then didn't see that. So, you know, 1 to 10, how observant are you? I'm a 7. I'm a 7. Until I go ahead and see somebody, I write 10 things, and I see somebody write 100 things, and my 10 things were insignificant. I missed the most important things on the, on the scene. And so if you were in the highest dimension of listening skills, what would that look like after a 2-hour conversation?
There's a pretty solid recollection of the main points and subpoints, counterpoints made by anyone else in the conversation. And
if you were at the second highest level of recollection, what would you be able to, like, what would be the second highest level?
Or just a general recollection of main points.
Okay. So the second highest recollection, the second highest dimension of listening is what people would consider as photographic memory. So in photographic memory, you remember everything. That's the second highest level. So the second highest dimension is, you, if it's a 2-hour meeting, you could repeat verbatim everything that was said in proper order, inflection, tonality, everything. That's the second highest level. Is absolute total recollection of everything. It's photographic listening is what it would be. Does that make sense? So what would be the highest? What's above that?
The ability to analyze the things that you're remembering in real time. And
okay. So what you're doing is, we know based on the 80-20 rule. So I've just used next dimension principle. I've just used the 4 levels of learning. I've just used the 80-20 rule. I've just used these natural laws. It's how I'm able to process things so fast is because the natural laws all come to me instantaneously. Because not anyone taught me, reality taught me all of these laws. So I didn't study them in a book or anything. And so it's going to be hard for you guys to pick up these natural laws. It's going to be hard for you guys to, because you're not going to go ahead. You didn't take 18 and a half years to discover the next dimension principle, so you will not value it as much as I do. And so, based on the 80-20, we know that probably, or 90-10 or 397 principle, they're all similar. And that is, on the 397 principle, 3% of that 2 hours produce 97% of the results. So if it's 120 minutes, that's going to be 3% is 3.6 minutes. You would be able to assess the 4 minutes of that 2 hours and break that down and know what that's higher than recollection of the event. Okay, that's a next dimension higher than photographic listening. Is what's the 4 most important minutes of that 120 minutes? Okay. Any idea what's above that? So Bobby's shaking his head no. You can't see that. I can. And so Bobby's shaking his head no. What's above that is that you would take that 4 minutes, you'd apply it to the five H's. So, okay, so what I've gone is gone through the next dimension, gone through the four levels of learning, gone through the 80-20. Now I'm going through the five H's, which is the hope, head, heart, hands, and helping other people. So you'd take that 4 minutes, and that would give you hope to your life vision. Now I'm bringing in the life vision principle. And so I'm taking, okay, here's the life vision, okay? And so taking, so do you have your written vision statement? Do you have it written down?
Yeah, in general, yes.
Okay. When you say in general, you have your written life vision statement written down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So ideally, you'd have that all the time. So you would take that 4 minutes and realize that if you don't go ahead and take that 4 minutes, you potentially are not going to achieve your vision. So that's the hope, the head, the heart, the hands, and helping other people. So you would take the 4 minutes, you'd plug it into your hope and say, this is a part of my hope. You would take it into your head and say, how do I apply it everywhere? You would take it into your heart and say, hey, I'm deeply passionate about this 4 minutes. You would then take it into the hands, and you would apply it with absolute precision. You'd apply it with absolute precision, and then you would go ahead and help other people apply that same thing. You'd apply it there. So people that have mirrored me, my executive assistants that we talked about on Tuesday, it's a whole conversation on that. One of the things they observed is, Mark, you're just one great big book of scripts. It's like you have these processes where you've trained your brain to think faster and process information that other people will take. Maybe they're incapable of taking information and processing it, or it may take them years or months or weeks or hours. I will, because of the natural laws, it's not because I'm a smart person, because I'm not. It's not because I'm, it's because I've trained and disciplined. Disciplined person, disciplined thinker, discipline in taking action, okay? So which was mentioned on Tuesday. I mean, so I am a very disciplined person, disciplined thinker, and disciplined in taking action. I would then take that, and I would apply that. So, I mean, what are we up to? Six natural laws that I've applied in minutes here? And so, I mean, this is why. Not all clients, but the clients that love me, this is why they love me, because they're like, man, this guy, man, he's got this content, this material down to a T. Well, this is how I live my life. This is how I survive. This is how I put food on the table. It's how I have an amazing relationship with my wife after 28 years. It's how I survive seven kids and love them all to pieces. I mean, this is these natural laws, because I'm kind of average or below average probably in intelligence. These natural laws give me an edge to live by. And so the challenge is often smart people, which I would categorize you, Bobby, as being very, very smart. I mean, who in the world knows what a fractal is? I mean, nobody knows what a fractal is. When Greg Wittig shared a fractal, I had no idea what a fractal was. We shared at breakfast, Bobby knows what a fractal is. That's insane. That's just insane. And so, and that's not happened just once with Bobby. That's happened multiple times. And so Bobby is similar to Jonathan, in my opinion, in that they're both very, very different than me, and that is they're both very, very smart. And that is their biggest challenge is they're both smart. So when I was in my early 20s, I realized when I was 9 or 10, I realized when I was probably 7 or 8, I'm not very smart. And so I said, okay, you have big goals, you have big dreams, you want to accomplish a lot of things. Mark, if you're not smart, you have to work harder. You have to figure it out. I think with Bobby and Jonathan and a whole lot of people nowadays, they're smart And so they never develop the disciplines at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And they got by in life. They got by in high school. They got by in what they were doing. And now they're hitting the real world. And they don't have the disciplines like I had in accounting, where all of a sudden 2 weeks I was lost. They don't have the disciplines that they've established in their lives to play in this new, big, exciting, bad world where you're competing against 7 billion other people. And they want to take your position. They will take it. They will be willing to work 5 times as hard, and they're willing to work 1/5 for 1/5, 1/10 of what you are. And so the world economy has come together, and so So if you had to sum up one thing that you learned from that two and a half hours, what is it that you learned? The 4 minutes, the most important of all things.
Just one thing.
He's thinking.
Oh, the connection between passion and motivation that you spoke about.
Okay. And what was that?
That if you're passionate and motivated about something, that you don't need discipline for it, but if at any given time you lack either passion or motivation on it, that's when you need discipline to persevere through it.
Okay, so intellectually... Yeah, I have forgotten that I totally said that. That's a good one. That's right up there. Okay, so intellectually, head-wise, that got in. Okay, so what did you do with it with your hands? I mean, how did you apply it?
Work I've been doing lately that I usually with recording, it's very how I feel about doing it, whether I do it.
Okay.
Lately, I've been putting in a consistent, disciplined effort.
Okay.
Put time in.
Okay. So, Josh, the bass player at church, he's in small group and at church, and small group is a study, and he said, Mark, I something to the effect that whenever I finish talking with you, I'm stretched. He said, I think he said, I'm hurt. I hurt somewhere. I'm always in pain. Always stretched afterwards. He said, I've never met anybody like you that is so precise with your words and your communication. You don't waste any words. So there was a story about an executive assistant. There was a story about an executive assistant. You remember that story? No.
Not specifically.
Okay. All right. So she had her master's degree in psychology. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I said she had a master's degree in psychology. I said that she was very attractive.
And she never had to work for anything.
And she probably got away with a lot in life and maybe never was held to a really high standard.
Mm-hmm.
And one day...
You made a strong impression on her by actually...
Right, so I made a very strong impression on her by her coming in late one day, 3 minutes to work, and I just tore her head off. And most people would crumble, but she absolutely resonated towards that, loved it. Why did I share that story?
I can think of a few reasons.
share with the group, because the group, they don't see. You know, people, when they hear me over the phone or the recording, they think of some guy that's, you know, 6'7", and, man, this guy's built like a Hulk, and he is going to kill you. That's what people think. What I love about teenagers is there's this Megan, just bless her heart. you know, she's 16 or 17, and she's been on coaching, she's been on coaching and everything, and bless her heart, you know, she sees me in person, and she's like, huh, you're a lot different in person than I thought over the phone. What's interesting is I'm more deadly in person than I am over the phone because, you know, I'm just this little short kind of guy that looks like an accountant. And so you think, well, this guy's not that impressive. But as I tell my teenage boys who are now, you know, as tall or taller than I am, it's not in the height, it's in the head. And so so if you guys can hang with me, if you can hang with me, you can hang with clients. If you can make it through the certification, that when I'm out there promoting you guys and saying to our clients, yeah, the certification, just to get level one certification, 95 hours. Really? Oh, yeah. This thing will burn people out. Really? That's the kind of person I want. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Somebody makes it through this, you want them. Because it's a hard program. It's a hard, hard program to get through purposely because we don't want to recommend. It's now being expanded. We're going to have another company that said something yesterday. They want a special certification just for printers in web to print. And they want, I mean, so the name's expanding. It's starting to get a reputation out there as a really tough program. And you graduate from this program, you get certified, you really know what you're doing. And so do you remember, Bobby, where I said something about my coaching clients set their clocks based on, my call?
Mm-hmm.
You remember what I said, my favorite, Christmas gift was of all times? I'm 48 years old, the favorite, Mark's favorite Christmas gift?
The atomic clock.
The atomic clock. See, that would be a great quiz question. I'm going to teach you guys how to build quiz questions, and that's a quiz question. It's interesting because I had a professor for finance, and it was a mass lecture, and they had no way of really taking attendance. So what he did is he had 10 questions on his test, and he'd always share jokes throughout the whole, session. You get to the test, and one of the questions, 10% of the grade, was if you knew the answer to the joke. It was wild, first time I experienced. So if a brick drops from the top of a building, what's going to happen? And the only way you'd know is if you went ahead and attended that class live. So if you had friends taking notes, they're not going to take any notes on the jokes. They're going to just take notes on the other. So it's his way of testing for attendance. So that would be a great quiz question and say, what is Mark's favorite Christmas gift of all time? And it would be an atomic clock. And you're like, why is that important? It's listening skills. Because it's revealing something that's very, very important to me. And that is being on time. And it's not a minute late. I mean, it's being on time. Remember what I said to you? I think it was right before you left. See, I know what's going to happen prior to it happening. Because people and human behavior is so predictable, it's absolutely crazy. Now, I didn't know totally. I thought it was going to be really clear. And so it's like, it's still a good learning experience because you're in boot camp. And so you're going to go ahead and get, punched. You're going to get hit. You're going to get hammered. In boot camp, you might survive. We want to build a program where three of those and you're out. So at some point, this certification will be so advanced that you get three of those, you miss three of those, boom, you're out. The program, I mean, I think I almost want the goal of the program where it eliminates 98% of the people. 98% of people come in, fail. They get knocked out. You know what? I only want people, and it's not going to be the smart ones. That's where the men in black comes in. I mean, there's all this kind of stuff, and so I have got so much on my plate right now, it is unbelievable. I've got thousands of dollars that I could be generating right now. I've got major initiatives that are time sensitive, But I'm taking time right now, right here, for Bobby and for each one of you to teach you something. I cannot tell you how many sales that I've made and how many people work with me because they say, wow, you are right on time. Now, Bobby messed up even beyond that, where you got mixed up. You got mixed up on the time that you were going to be here. Now, you do that with a client and you're done. It's all over. Do you remember what I said about the first five times always being there? How could have you prevented that situation from occurring? You being late today. And we're making an assumption when I say you're being late. What's that assumption?
That I have the potential to be on time?
No. No. No.
That I had committed to a time?
What time did you commit to?
9.
Okay. So I'm making an assumption. And I'm making an assumption because you were here before 9. You were here 9:15. So you think you went ahead and lived up to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm saying, no, you didn't. You missed it. You missed the mark. How can I say that? I mean, how can I say that with so much confidence? You got to speak. They can't
speak. I don't know. Sorry.
So one is I'm very confident in my speaking skills and listening skills. So it's like, you know, I didn't check with Jonathan to see what time, but I linked it in. I'm like, oh, good. When you said 8 o'clock, I said, oh, good. That's the time Jonathan will be here so I can bring them both in together, do both things together. So I immediately linked it to other things that were there. That's another story that we were walking one day. And my wife and I, you know, we were walking, and all of a sudden, randomly, I asked her a specific thing about some responsibility she had. I said, oh, by the way, did you get this done? And she's like, what? I'm like, did you get this done? She's like, where did that come from? She's like, your brain is so weird. And I'm like, huh, that's cool. I'm going to find out where that came from. So what I did is I backed the conversation through, and what I do is, because I'm not a smart person, because I have 7 kids, because I have a business, because I have so much going on, what I've learned is mentally, I've learned how to link things to multiple things that create trigger points for me. And so one thing will trigger something else, which triggers something else, which triggers something else, and so there's multiple trigger points, and then I prioritize them based on the 80-20, 90-10, 3-97 to make sure that that 3% never gets dropped, the 10% never gets dropped, and that 20% never gets dropped, and I have continued triggers all over the place. So specifically, I'm thinking, great, I can kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Bobby's going to be here at 8 o'clock. Jonathan's going to be here at 8 o'clock. I can get all of those things done. So I am 99% sure that you said 8 o'clock. Now, I didn't record that conversation, okay? Now, if I wanted to coddle you, what could have I done? So I could take ownership of this if I wanted to. I could say, oh, this is Mark. As a trainer, this is your responsibility, Mark. I could take ownership of that. What's the benefit of me taking ownership? Anytime you take ownership, you have control. If you don't take ownership, you don't have control. You blame somebody else, you've lost control. You've given up control. In addition to that, if you go ahead and blame somebody else, well, then you don't learn anything either. So you give up control, you don't learn anything. So if I wanted to learn something from this, if I wanted to get to be a better teacher, I could go ahead and take ownership of this so easy. And how could have I prevented it from happening?
Following up with me?
I could have followed up. I could have put it in a schedule. I could have emailed you. I could have done a bunch of other things. So I could have done that. But the thing is, that's not good training. I mean, if you're a 2-year-old, it's good training because you got to tell them over and over again. If you're an employee, a lot of employers will tell employers 3-4 times. Here's another natural law. Never have to be told twice to do anything. So if you're great, you don't even have to be told once. If you have to be told once, you're good. Anything more than once, you're below good. And you can't be that and survive. So if you just go through and document, so if somebody wanted to be the 3%, if somebody wanted to be the 3% who really excels, what would they do? See, so I think in a different way, which is why I've owned my own company for over 20 years. You need to learn to think like that, because that's what's going to take to create success for you, Bobby. You need to learn how to think like that. So I know how to impress people, and that's what you have to learn how to do. So if I was a student going through this program and I want to be top 3%, what I would do is I would go ahead and listen. I would go through this thing, and then I would go ahead and write down every natural law, and I would email it to me. And I'd say, Mark, here's all the natural laws that I picked out of this. Thank you so much for sharing. That's what I would do. Because I know that if Mark's the president of the company, Mark's the one that's the international author and speaker, if Mark's the one that's guiding a lot of these clients, he probably has a tremendous amount of influence of which VA gets which project. And he's going to want the best ones, the best VAs, to get the best clients. And so I want to make sure I'm really impressing Mark so he gives me access to these best clients. Because if the VA screws up, it reflects back on me. If the VA is amazing, then I look amazing. I mean, it's very simple. I can't be any more successful in coaching people than the VA is in getting the work done. Okay? So pretty confident. I'm 99% sure that, yes, it was 8 o'clock. In addition to that, I have something else. I'm the customer, and the customer is always right. And so there's going to be times that you're going to be right and the customer is wrong, but you still lose. So you can't afford. You need to, if you're weak in listening, you need to make sure that you increase that. If the customer is weak in communication or listening or remembering things, you need to be able to back that up, because you're always wrong as a business owner. The customer is always right. And so even if the customer makes a mistake, this is the caught in the middle principle. So this is the caught in the middle principle. So I keep thinking, oh, I wish this thing was recorded visually so people could see it. But I'm thinking, no, it's better that you don't, because you have to visualize it. So most of your success as a VA probably will come in phone calling. It's the ability to communicate. Talked to a client yesterday, and he's got somebody who makes phone calls. We want to get him into the program to get him to be one of the trainers, and the guy's blind. It's so awesome. I'm like, oh, my gracious. So he's going to have skills, and he's going to have developed skills and talents that are even beyond mine in making phone calls. So we're going to try to get him in as a faculty member for this. All right. So with me, Bobby, and everybody else who's on, you don't ever want to be late, even a minute. It's the worst thing in the world. It's like it's the principle of the thing. And that goes back to accounting. See, in Men in Black, one of the most significant pieces in a movie that transformed my life forever is when he's being tested at the level in that room, and he shoots the little girl, and they're like, why did you shoot the little girl? Well, because she's carrying a chemistry book and all this other type of stuff. He sees things that other people don't see, and that's what they were trying to accomplish. That's what an entrepreneur is. They see things that other people don't see. If you don't have that natural gift, which I don't know if anybody really does, you can train yourself to have that natural gift. I don't care what your life vision is. I don't care what your passions are. It will help you accomplish anything you want in life and help to give you happiness and fulfillment. And that's what it'll do. So, I don't know who your mentor will be in the program. As the program continues to expand, it probably won't be me directly, but I will have successfully reproduced myself. You know a part of who Mark Borisma is. I have given you time today when I could have been making money, and I don't get paid anything for this. And so I'm giving to you, I'm doing the fifth H, hope, head, heart, hands, and helping other people. Helping other people is where you learn the most, where you grow the most, and where you make the most money. So no, I'm not making money, but I will make massive amounts of money because I'm going to help you guys make money, and you're going to help me make money, and together we can make a lot more money than we ever could on our own. So, Bobby, this whole session, if you had to summarize it in the 4 minutes, what's the most important 4 minutes, what's the most important thing that you could get back from this?
That those 4 minutes could be the key to achieving your life vision, and that if you can't pull out the importance.
Good. Excellent. That's a good thing to pull. So you always want to do that. You always want to say, summarize what's the most important 4 minutes. 3%. So what am I thinking? Important thing for you to walk away that I think you ought to walk away with. Actually, what's the second most important thing that I think that you ought to walk away with from today?
Never having to be told twice.
That's a good one. What I was thinking. That's a good one, though. That's a really good one. That's a really good one. Man, there's nothing drives me more insane. Because what it is I demean people if I have to tell them. I think, boy, they're stupid. I have to tell them twice. If somebody has to tell me something twice, I think, boy, am I stupid. I mean, I'm sloppy, undisciplined. Man, that's ridiculous. Most important thing I think you ought to take away from this is don't always know when you're to meet with me and don't ever be a minute late. Don't even be 10 seconds late. You can always be at least 5 minutes early. That's a big value of mine. Do I care about the time? Not as much as it reflects a discipline of somebody where they respect my time. And I could share so many stories about that, but I won't. Okay? That's the second most important thing I think you ought to take away. And so this situation, I'm not angry. I'm not upset. It's, you know, hey, Bobby thought he was a 7. Now he got to learn the next dimension principle. It's not even close to a 7. It's not even in the same galaxy. So that's a good. It's an application of it. If Bobby's a good steward, the five T's to stewardship: time, talents, treasure, trust, and truth. And the sixth bonus one is temple. And so, if Bobby's a good steward of my 5 T's. In my life, he will get more. He'll get more of my time. He'll get more of my talents. He'll get more of my treasure. He'll get more of my trust. He'll get more of the time, talents, treasure, trust, and truth. He'll get more of my truth. If Bobby ever becomes defensive, angry, upset about anything I share, I just won't share. It's like, okay, you know, I don't have to. I don't have to share with you. So the number one thing that I think Bobby ought to walk away with is something that's not even said. That is, you should be, and it's not out of ego. I mean, in the 11 o'clock session today, we're going to be talking about a breakthrough I had yesterday that absolutely blows my mind. And that is, in the next dimension, just briefly, in the next dimension principle, there are 4 types of coaching. So there's 4 types of coaching, 4 kind of levels, types of coaching. So level 1 is cheerleading coaching, and amiables do really good on that. Level 2 is going to be an intellectual coach, and analyticals do really good on that. Level 3 is a coach, and that's expressive, and level 4 is Navy SEALs. What I thought about, and this took 18 years, over 18 years to discover this next dimension principle, and what I just realized yesterday is that when I go off on somebody and really, and that's where my family and those that are closest to me say, Mark's not dangerous if he's yelling at you or raising his voice or his intensity. That's not when he's dangerous. That's not when you need to worry about it. He's just getting out what he has inside. You want him to be upset with you and verbally show it. Where he's dangerous is if he's not talking. Because you never want a mind like Mark's going in that direction without knowing what he's thinking. It's not healthy for anybody. So, a coach, if I were yelling and getting in Bobby's face, that's a coach. It's like a sports coach. A Navy SEALs is not like that. It's not boot camp. A Navy SEALs, if Bobby wants, and I have not found any other way to break through besides a Navy SEALs. Navy SEALs coaching is when I say to Bobby, Bobby, you were 3 seconds late today. No, actually, a Navy SEALs is Bobby coming in and saying, I was 3 seconds late today, and I want to apologize because it's absolutely ridiculous, sloppy, I mean, and I apologize. Or for me to say, Bobby, your tone on that phone call wasn't just exactly perfect. You missed this and this and this and this, and Bobby says, you're absolutely right. Navy SEALs are open to all, you're a 100 millimeter off on your shot. That is not acceptable, and the Navy SEAL will say, yes, sir, absolutely. Where the coach will not. The coach will go ahead and get all upset. And I recognized yesterday why I'm not good in when I get upset with people, because I don't have the expressive, and I hate going back to analytical. Yesterday was revealed by Tom, his magic. I've been looking for 4.5 years to discover his magic, and I think I found it yesterday. It's just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And so with Bobby, I think the most important thing for Bobby to learn, and this is, see, it's all set up. Why did I go down this whole path? What I discovered yesterday is in the cheerleader, there's a ton of ego. In the analytical, there's a ton of ego. In a level 3 coach, tons of ego. Level 4 Navy SEALs, there's not ego. Any idea why? A lot of defensiveness in the cheerleader, a lot of defensiveness in the teaching. Some defensiveness in coaching, but not as much. No defensiveness in Navy SEAL. Any idea why?
Do you realize how far off you are, possibly?
You realize what perfection is, yeah. My brother, who's in the was in Marines for 22 years, and my older brother, knows the top guy, lead guy, for the detail for covering the president, the sharpshooter. And I don't know what it is, but they every month have to go ahead and shoot, let's say 100 targets, and if they miss one, they're off detail. One shot. And every month they have to go through. I mean, it's just crazy insane. So, yeah, part of it's that. I think the real reason why there's no ego at that level is because it's not about you. It's not about you at all. So it has nothing to do with you. You're protecting the president. You're saving your country. You're doing this. So you take out of yourself. You take out of yourself, it's no longer anything about you. It's not about you at all anymore. It's about somebody else. And that's why. So, when I say all of that was said so somebody wouldn't misinterpret, what I'm about to say. And there's another story yesterday where I said something a week ago to a client, one of the employees of a client, and he got really ticked at me and got really upset. And the president came back yesterday and he said, you know, Mark, you are so powerful that I would think you have to take responsibility for not only the words you say, but who you said it to and their response to you. So what he's doing is he's putting on me the weight that I am responsible for your response to me. What do you think my response to that was, Bobby? Immediate. I didn't have time to think. He said, Mark, you, I would think, at the level you're at, I would think with the skill level you have, you have to take responsibility for somebody else's response to you. What do you think my immediate response was?
I agree.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Yep. I mean, a programmer said to me, he goes and said, this is years ago, a programmer said to me, you know, I was pushing him about some of the stuff, and he said, Mark, he said, you're not taking ownership for this situation. And I'm like, huh, okay. So that's like, wow, somebody says I'm not taking ownership? And he's, I said, that's interesting, Kevin. How much ownership do you think I'm taking? He said, I think you're taking 95%. I said, oh, and how much do you think I should take? He says, I think you ought to take 100%. You're the president of the company. And I'm like, huh, he's right. What do you think the end result of that was, Bobby?
He doesn't have a job.
He didn't have a job. 90 days later, he was gone. Boom. Because he was right. And so it's like I would just throw this thing out. I would have just thrown this thing out without any of the stories, without any of the background. But then I'm like, you know what? I know what people are going to think. Why? Because they're going to project themselves over onto me. And it gets frustrating when people are like, Mark, you got this massive ego. And it's like, no, it's your ego projecting over onto me. That's what it is. So the most important thing that Bobby should have gotten from today's session, well, if you're listening, what do you think you should have gotten? This is what I think Bobby and each one of you should have gotten. And that is, with every decision you make as a VA, when you're going through all the training, when you're going through everything, your first year, 2 years, 3 years as a VA, owning your own company, every decision you make in that business, you ought to ask yourself one question. Any idea, Bobby, what that one question is? I spent 10 minutes focusing around ego to protect myself from somebody saying, oh, Mark's got this big ego. That's a hint.
How can I be more like Mark?
Close. But that's not actually what we're looking for. What we're looking for is so close, so that's good. That's good. You want to ask yourself, what is Mark thinking? And what would Mark think or do in this situation? Not that you would do what I would do, because even though I've got so much experience, I may still do the wrong thing and you still may do the right thing because you have natural gifts that I don't have and experiences that I don't have. But the thing is you should learn to think like me so you have the option, the alternative, the ability to respond like me if you should. And it's a very, very high-level response. And because I think I'm so transparent and open, I am absolutely amazed on how people, within minutes of meeting me, know how I think. And so you want alternatives. You want alternatives to your way you think right now. So you have a certain pattern for thinking the way you think. You want to break that pattern and say, what would Mark think? What would Mark do? Not that you would do it. You just want the alternative. If you don't think how I think, then you don't have the opportunity to go down the paths I would go on. You are limiting yourself. Does that make sense, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
And that will change your life. That will change your life forever. And guaranteed, if I'm working with you, I am thinking always, well, continually, what is Bobby thinking? So before you think and before you respond, I am thinking, what you're thinking before you even think it. And I'm feeling and sensing your energy. So before, when we were in West Chicago, before you went ahead and left, I sensed your energy. I asked Dave a question. And before you even responded, I knew what the energy was going to have, what was going to happen prior to it happen. When you get to that point where you can sense energy and understand energy and adjust your personality to whatever needs to be adjusted to achieve whatever mission you're set out to accomplish, you get into Navy SEALs, you start focusing on other people rather than yourself. It is amazing what that will do to transform your life. Bobby, any questions? He's shaking his head no.
Oh, sorry. No, I don't have any.
All right. If you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, hopefully you are taking this and applying it to your hope, head, heart, hands, and helping other people. Hopefully you are seeing the power of the natural laws applied, real life. These natural laws will potentially, probably, make the difference between you succeeding in business, owning your own company, and failing. One other exercise you may want to think about doing, you might want to think about every area of your life that's miserable, where you say, I hate my life in this area, I hate what's going on, or I don't love this area of my life. Write it down and then take full ownership and saying, the reason I am making, you know, $8 an hour, $10 an hour, $20 an hour, whatever. The reason I am making the money I am making is because of the choices I am making today. If I make better choices, I will have a better outcome. The reason that I have the marriage or relationship I have, the reason that I am in the situation I am, take full ownership for everything that's not great in your life. Understand that you can control that with the natural laws, and it will transform your life. You can email me at service, S-E-R-V-I-C-E, at Synergy, S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y, Solutions, S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N-S, .net. That's service at Synergy Solutions. So you listen to the session, and, you know, if you have any questions or any comments or anything like that, direct it to me, and they'll pass that, they'll forward that on to me. If you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. God bless, and have a great day. Bye-bye.